1. The Dimension Beyond. July 31st, 1938. I have never acquired the diary-keeping habit, mainly because of my uneventful mode of existence in which there has seldom been anything to chronicle. But the thing which happened this morning is so extravagantly strange, so remote from mundane laws and parallels, that I feel impelled to write it down to the best of my understanding and ability. Also, I shall keep account of the possible repetition and continuation of my experience. It will be perfectly safe to do this, for no one who ever reads the record will be likely to believe it. I had gone for a walk on Crater Ridge, which lies a mile or less to the north of my cabin near Summit, though differing markedly in its character from the usual landscapes round about. It is one of my favorite places. It is exceptionally bare and desolate, with little more in the way of vegetation than mountain sunflowers, wild currant bushes, and a few sturdy wind-warped pines and supple tamaracks. Geologists deny it a volcanic origin, yet its outcroppings of rough, nodular stone and enormous rubble heaps have all the air of scoriac remains, at least to my non-scientific eye. They look like the slag and refuse of cyclopean furnaces, poured out in pre-human years to cool and harden into shapes of limitless grotesquerie. Among them are stones that suggest the fragments of primordial bas-reliefs or small prehistoric idols and figurines, and others that seem to have been graven with lost letters of an indecipherable script. Unexpectedly, there is a little tarn lying on one end of the long, dry ridge, a tarn that has never been fathomed. The hill is an odd interlude among the granite sheets and crags and the fur-clothed ravines and valleys of this region. It was a clear, windless morning, and I paused often to view the magnificent perspectives of varied scenery that were visible on every hand. The Titan battlements of Castle Peak, the rude masses of Donner Peak with its dividing pass of hemlocks, the remote, luminous blue of the Nevada Mountains, and the soft green of willows in the valley at my feet. It was an aloof, silent world, and I heard no sound other than the dry, crackling noise of cicadas among the currant bushes. I strolled on in a zigzag manner for some distance, and coming to one of the rubble fields with which the ridges interstrewn, I began to search the ground closely, hoping to find a stone that was sufficiently quaint and grotesque in its form to be worth keeping as a curiosity. I had found several such in my previous wanderings. Suddenly, I came to a clear space amid the rubble, in which nothing grew, a space that was round as an artificial ring. In the center were two isolated boulders, queerly alike in shape, and lying about 5 feet apart. I paused to examine them. Their substance, a dull, greenish-gray stone, seemed to be different from anything else in the neighborhood, and I conceived at once the weird, unwarrantable fancy that they might be the pedestals of vanished columns, worn away by incalculable years, till there remained only these sunken ends. Certainly, the perfect roundness and uniformity of the boulders was peculiar, and though I possess a smattering of geology, I could not identify their smooth, soapy material. My imagination was excited, and I began to indulge in some rather overheated fantasies. But the wildest of these was a homely commonplace in comparison with the thing that happened when I took a single step forward in the vacant space immediately between the two boulders. I shall try to describe it to the utmost of my ability, though human language is naturally wanting in words that are adequate for the delineation of events and sensations beyond the normal scope of human experience. Nothing is more disconcerting than to miscalculate the degree of descent in taking a step. Imagine, then, what it was like to step forward on level, open ground and find utter nothingness underfoot. I seemed to be going down into an empty gulf, and at the same time, the landscape before me vanished in a swirl of broken images, and everything went blind. There was a feeling of intense, hyperborean cold, and an indescribable sickness and vertigo possessed me, due, no doubt, to the profound disturbance of equilibrium. Either from the speed of my descent or for some other reason, I was, too, totally unable to draw breath.